Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Romans reading, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that we may understand that in suffering, your good and gracious plan is being worked out in our lives, and that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor Joshua was back from the United States and he proclaimed God's word for us, also from the epistle from Romans. He drew our attention to these words from St. Paul. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. He talked about the fact, Sir Joshua did, that for St. Paul, suffering was not an abstract theological question, but a lived reality. St. Paul, the Lord's chosen apostle, the one who had encountered the risen Christ, the one who had mystical experiences of the glory of God, was the same person who suffered beatings, stoning, shipwreck, and exposure, along with calumny and detraction. But for St. Paul, the very real suffering that he experienced, and that we, in our different callings, experience as we live by faith, these sufferings are nothing compared to the glory of God that is going to be revealed to us. Weigh them against each other in the scales, St. Paul says, and the suffering doesn't register against the weight of glory. Now today, we're going to hear more about why St. Paul could say this, about why he could have such confidence in God in the midst of very real suffering. So from St. Paul's words, I'll be proclaiming good news. If you've ever wondered whether God really does care for you, especially if you've experienced abandonment or shame or physical weakness or distress, and especially if you've experienced these things because you've been faithful to the Lord and his teaching, then be assured, God has not left you. On the contrary, he is working out his plan for your life and will work all things, including your faithful suffering, to your good and to his glory. Now, St. Paul starts by acknowledging that we do experience real weakness, even when it comes to living the life of faith, even when it comes to the life of prayer. Listen to what he says. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When we are in need, especially when we are suffering, it can be difficult, if not impossible, to put into words what we are experiencing and what our needs are. But St. Paul says God does not leave us alone in our weakness, in our suffering, but gives the Spirit who intercedes within us and for us. Who intercedes, St. Paul says. Now, Jesus has the same teaching, of course. He calls the Spirit the advocate, the one who understands us from the inside out, who can speak our needs to God better than we can ourselves, even beyond words. Here's a picture which I find helpful. See if it works for you. The word spirit and the word breath are the same word in Greek. I mean, even in English, we know that if someone gives up their spirit, they stop breathing. But think of a baby just born, and it takes in breath for the first time. It knows yet no words, and it's experiencing what it cannot comprehend, the suffering of existence right there at the moment of birth. And yet, as it takes in breath, it cries out with sounds that are full of meaning that go beyond words. Sounds which create and inspire a strong bond, a maternal bond. The Spirit coming into the life of a baby. The baby cries out with sounds that go beyond words, and the bond with a parent is strengthened. This is what the Spirit does within us. Gives us a voice that goes beyond words and gives us life with the Father. It's because we have this bond that St. Paul can then say, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, St. Paul does not say that God works freedom from suffering. Our Lord Jesus Christ carried the cross, and we, as we place our trust in God, carry our cross too. But just as God brought good out of the cross of Christ, just as he brought forgiveness and peace and new life through the suffering and death of his Son, and just as he brought the resurrection out of the crucifixion, so we too can trust that God will bring good out of our distress and out of our suffering. So Paul makes clear that this is God's doing. Listen to what he writes. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This language is indeed difficult to hear and to comprehend, and indeed the language of predestination can make us uneasy. But think about what St. Paul is saying. Our life of faith and what we suffer in it is not meaningless or purposeless. Rather, it is part of God's plan to grow us to be like our big brother, to be like Jesus. Now, if you were to have this teaching in narrative form, and indeed St. Paul can write in ways which are difficult to picture, whereas we find stories easy to picture. If you want to think about this in narrative form, think about the story of Joseph in Genesis. Do you remember this story? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He ended up being in prison in a foreign land, not because he'd done anything evil, but because he'd trusted God. Joseph's brothers meant to do evil to him, but Joseph persevered in faith and eventually was freed from prison, found favour even with Pharaoh, so that in the end he could be an agent of salvation for the very brothers who had wished him evil. Now, do you remember how this narrative ends? I'm putting the narrative in a very compact way, hoping you've been familiar with the story already. But do you remember how the narrative ends? After their father, Jacob, dies, the brothers think that Joseph will now take his revenge. Dad's off the scene, Joseph's finally free to stick the knife in, so they think. But here's what happens. Then Joseph's brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" And here are the key words. "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This shows in story form what St. Paul is talking about, that God is on the side of those who place their trust in him, and that their suffering is not a sign of abandonment by God. Rather, through faithful suffering, God works his good and his glory. Now, St. Paul goes on to put all this into Christ focus. Listen to what he says. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? First of all, St. Paul is saying God is for us. He is on our side. And since this is the case, what can any opposition do to us? We can be fearful and despondent when we think about the cost that we can incur from confessing Christ and from holding fast to his teaching. And indeed, it might mean suffering or mockery or rejection, maybe lost job opportunities, or even putting our physical safety into jeopardy. But Jesus has reminded us that the worst that those who oppose God can do is kill the body. But it is God who can give life to the dead. What's more, God has shown his great love for us in giving us his own son. If God, St. Paul is saying, does not hold back his own son, but out of great love let him go into death to be the one who can lead us through death to life, then we can be sure that God will not hold back from us any gift that will bring eternal blessings. St. Paul puts this even more powerfully. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. And there's that word, intercedes again. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs and groans that we go beyond words. And now St. Paul is saying, Christ Jesus, the one who suffered and died for us, he is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And Christ knows what it's like to be a human being and to suffer human weaknesses. He knows what it is to suffer faithfully. And he is the one who speaks to the Father for us and who brings us into the presence of God. And this is why St. Paul can end with these words, which really are a crescendo. The end of chapter 8, before then St. Paul changes gear and deals with the issue of Jew-Gentile relations. Listen to these words. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor things present, nor rulers nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now remember, St. Paul who wrote those words knew what it was to suffer from trusting God. He knew from experience what he encourages us to trust. There is no opposition that we face as we place our trust in Christ that can separate us from the love of God. St. Paul started this chapter with these words, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We stand through Christ innocent before God. And that means even our sufferings can be used by God for good, because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have a unity given to us as a gift from God. A unity with God, which St. Paul is about to show, is also a unity with one another. Also a unity with one another over ethnic divides in our world. That is where St. Paul is going as Romans goes on. But today, thanks be to God, we know that because we belong to God in Christ Jesus, that he'll bring good out of our sufferings, that all things indeed work to good with those who love God. May God keep us in this way of life, keep us in this trust, so that his love may grow among us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.